Support for this podcast comes from Dice. With over 70,000 tech jobs and career resources like their salary predictor, Dice is the free way to hack your career in tech. Visit dice.com/canyouhackit for more info.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Catch Your Spirit with host Terry Ann Hyman, who is known for her teachings on tapping into the spirit. Join in and learn more about the energy of aligning with your deeper self. Tap into the intuitive energy of the angels, spirit guides, crystals, color, and light. Are you having trouble making decisions? Is your health acting up? Do you need a greater magnification of life to find your purpose? Call in for readings to catch your spirit, find your answers. Align with your highest vibration.
Welcome back to another episode of Catch Your Spirit. This is your host, Terry Ann Hyman, owner and founder of Natural Forces Studio, the Spiritual Development Academy, and author of Confessions of a Shower Tapper, the ultimate guide to living your purpose with EFT. So wherever you are and whatever time of day it is that you're listening in, thank you. Thank you so much for joining me and tuning in. I did want to let you know that if you are feeling a little lost in your life, or perhaps you just don't feel on track with your purpose, you can go to my website page, terryannhyman.com, and get a free assessment guide to empowering your spirit. Check it out. What is stopping you from living your purpose? And if you are in need of some help, my Empowered Spirit program can offer you some. It's a 90-day private mentoring program that helps connect you to your spirit, teaching you intuitive development tools, Reiki energy, and helping you to create new spiritual contracts for your life. I'm actually offering an awesome winter bonus right now to sign up for the winter season. It's a 5-step program about creating sacred space and how you can remain grounded and centered during this holiday season right now. You can find more about this at empoweredspiritprogram.com. I'd also like to invite you to my Facebook group. We have a lot of fun things going on right now, the Empowered Spirit Circle. It's a private group and will offer some private support, some blessings of energies, articles, information. And I'm actually going to be doing a 21-day abundance meditation starting on 1-1. Yes, starting right off in the new year. You must be in the group to get access. So come on, find me and join in with the Empowered Spirit Circle. So how is everyone today? Lots of energy brewing out there, right? My goodness, not only do we have the holiday season, but we opened up a portal of energy last week with the 12-12 energy. So that energy is still going on, activating our light bodies. So very, very important that we are all spending time in meditation and opening up to our spirit. Have you noticed any shifts or increasing vibrational energy around you? I know I have. I know for me this last week especially, I feel like my whole body has been repatterned. I feel like I'm just opening up to different ways of working, feeling my physical body, my spiritual body. So I do feel this energy going on. We also had that super full moon last week too that helped us to clear and cleanse. Brought up a lot of challenging energy for many, but it also offered us the opportunity to let go. Yes, it was the last one of this year, so very big time to let go. And then today, of course, today, I know many of you already know, I've already read about it. Yes, we see Mercury begin its retrograde motion once again. This one goes right into the new year. How very interesting. It offers us the opportunity to really cleanse out, renew, review, redo our year as we move into the new one. Also very interesting today with what's going on in Congress. I don't know if we'll see any changes with that, but I find it very interesting that we have to relook at who it is we voted in. So as we go to reach the end of the year, we have what? Today and tomorrow left. We start the winter solstice officially on Wednesday. I'm actually kind of looking forward to moving into winter this year. There have been many shifts and many things going on in 2016, many things happening. And I think for many of us, we want to kind of put it to rest. So as we move into the winter solstice, which Wednesday does begin, it does offer us that time to realign our energy, to really open up, let go of the fear, especially that mass conscious fear, mass consciousness fear going on right now of all the things that are happening. And it offers the opportunity to really come back into grounding our energy. Again, I look to those out at Standing Rock for my inspiration, for my knowledge and teachings. It really is quite valuable. They're still standing. There has been a small victory, as many of us know, but there is still a lot going on. In fact, today they actually start some trials on the protesters that were first arrested. So continue sending energy their way, continue donating. It's way below freezing, and they are still standing in peace for all of us. And to me, that is so very important that they're still standing. And so I take that in for myself. I turn that around and send it right back out into the universe. Water is life for all of us. Mindy Wachoni. They are making a difference, the kind we need for humanity. So again, all of us, let us just join our energies and send it out there to them. And as we go into move into this show, let's just join all of our energies right now, too. All for the highest good, all for the miracles in our lives. So wherever you are, just take a nice deep inhale and exhale. Send that breath all the way down deep into the earth. Inhale, bring the breath right up back up through the body, through the crown, sending it up into the heavens. As we call in divine spirit, our spiritual teachers, the archangels, and our own spirit guides, they work with us and through us to surround us and protect us as we offer this work today. Let us just take a moment and honor the fall, honor all the many things we were able to harvest this year. We honor all the many things that we can let go of as well. To the north, the south, the east, and the west, above us, below us, right into the very center, right into our hearts, asking for anything less than light to be gone, and only the highest vibrations be with us today. Taking a nice big inhale as we call in the angels for guidance, call in the energy masters all around us. As I go to draw a card, working with the energy oracles still. I love these cards. Ah, well, this is a great card for all of us. Yes, the card is the number 43, a 7, which is a beautiful spiritual number, but it shows a man holding a coin. First of all, the man is beautiful, so yes, we'll take that. But the other thing is that he's holding this beautiful coin. It's almost like an I Ching coin rather than the dollar coins we know here. But he's looking very intently, standing in his energy, and I think this is a really great message for all of us coming forward at this time, to not let fear get in our way, to be able to stand in our truth, to be able to open up to the abundance that is around us and to receive it. And I think as we go forward into this next year, especially all of us as these light workers, these energy workers that we are, to take this with us and stand firmly in who we are, to open up to that abundance and prosperity so you can share your work, you can get out there and be strong and accept all of that prosperity that is coming to each and every one of us as we stand in our truth. Truth being my word for today. So taking a nice deep inhale and letting this man holding a coin come in, and maybe it can surround you, and letting go of the fear and standing stronger in that man energy. It doesn't necessarily have to be a man energy, but standing in that energy of abundance for all mankind right now. Inhaling and exhaling. Just sending the energy down, grounding in the energy, coming back. All right, so I know that was very helpful for me. I get so excited to be here with all of you guys each and every week. Last week, we started talking about miracles and what miracles mean and how they can be big or small and how they can come from anywhere, anywhere at all. And so my show today is a really special episode as we bring in these miracles with a really beautiful true story, really beautiful. Author Filippo Vittaggio with his book, The Little Dog That Could. It's a true story of life, love, and miracles. Filippo currently hosts the highly regarded The Life Changes Show on BBS Radio and is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. And he offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs, yes, transformed his life unexpectedly and put him on a path of self-discovery. Calibio's work as a foundation in sound traditional business practices, having worked in junior management for one of the top three Fortune 500 companies, and from an artistic background, having sung, performed, and acted on stage and on the big screen for years. Calibio also incorporates his love and experience of science and energetics, as well as the spiritual arts, thus incorporating science, art, music, humor, and heart. After many years of certification in the various esoteric fields, he now holds most dear his life coaching and hosting of the show, The Life Changes Show, which is host to a cornucopia of guests from famed celebrities and respected scientists and doctors to everyday people who are changing their lives, the lives of others, and or the world in a positive way. Calibio and his show are the recent winners of Barack Obama's President's Call to Service Award. As a life coach, he has created two workshops, the Recalibration and the Life Improvement Workshop, which are foundationally based to help individuals, groups, corporations, and organizations make positive and lasting change from the ground up. So let us welcome in with this interview of Calibio. So welcome, Calibio, to Catch Your Spirit. So great to have you here.
Great to be here with you, Terry. Thanks for having me on.
Yes. So, you know, I talk about many things on this show, mostly to do with the spirit. And this is the first time, actually, we're going to be having the conversation of what your book is about our four-legged friends, about the energy of animals. So I'm so excited to share this work with our listeners today. So your book, The Little Dog That Could, was such a happy book, such a sad book, such a loving book. I really, really was inspired reading it, and it definitely brought up memories of my little cat. I was very attached to my cat. I don't know what I would have done without my cat going through my divorce. So I totally can relate to all the many things that you shared in this book. Yes. So let's just start with why did you write this book? With all the other many things that you do, why did you write this book?
Wow, what a good place to start, because I didn't want to write this book. I thought the book was very revealing. As you know, like you, I'm on radio, and I'm a radio host, and I also sing, so I'm in the public a lot, and I share so much of myself in everything I do that I wasn't looking forward to writing a book about what actually happens when I'm alone and with my dog. And I think, you know, some things could be, you know, it's just the dog and I. But the story was so compelling to me the couple times that I shared it that I broke down in tears sharing the story. And I took that as a sign that I should just never tell the story. But the people that I shared it to said, "You have, this is a sign that you have to share it with everybody." And I thought, how could they be so wrong?
Yes.
So it took me 9 years, and I finally released the book, and I'm glad I did. So the why is because it felt like a story that wanted to be told, and so I told it.
Huh. Very interesting, especially because as you started on the book, you really weren't a dog lover at all. I don't know about all animals, but you talked about not really understanding people and their dogs, right?
Right. No, it's not that I wasn't a dog lover. We had dogs as children, my siblings and I, and in our family, and I was the one that instigated that I really wanted that. But growing up Italian American, in our case, a dog was a dog in the sense that the way the Italians looked at it, the dog stayed outside. My parents did bring him in, but she had to stay in the garage kind of thing. So we didn't come home because the dog was home by itself, and we didn't do things like that. Although it's not that the dog was neglected. It just wasn't a part of the family in the way that people now treat dogs and animals and more dignity, I think.
Well, yes, I can hear you on that. I remember we grew up with dogs, and we had like a couch in the garage that they kind of hung out on, which definitely changed when my kids grew up with dogs. Yeah, the dog was definitely in the house, and schedules were revolved around dogs and kids.
Right.
Both. Absolutely. But I do believe that, you know, something that you just said, too, is that today there is so much more awareness of the energy and the spirit of the animals. I mean, part of
right.
what I do teach when I teach Reiki to people, there are people that want to come to me just to learn how to work with animals. They work with the
right.
adoption agencies, the rescues, and they have noticed that energy exchange and how much that has affected them as well. And I think that's where you're going to go with this book. So let me just ask, being a little bit more vulnerable, did this really happen?
You know, I have been told by several people, especially around here in Hollywood, somebody who wants to turn it into a movie and all that stuff, you know, it would have been good if you wrote this, and or you should have said this, or you still can, or you can say this at this point, because before the book was actually published, I did give it to some people to read, and I would say to them, oh, I love that idea. Unfortunately, I can't do that. And they'd say, why? The book's not published yet, or what have you. Or you could always, you know, do another edition. And I'd say, because if I literally change one word or one phrase, then I wouldn't be able to see, I wouldn't be able to say everything happened exactly as I recall it. So it's already fantastical. Sure, maybe changing. Actually, I would change if I were to have written the story as if I wanted to make a story. I wouldn't have made myself so, oh gosh, I don't want to put myself down, so why don't I just say silly. I think the fourth time reading through it to make sure the I's were dotted and the T's were crossed, I think I just like put the book down saying, Filippo, get it already. Really? I mean, how many things have to happen for you to understand this simple concept? I was getting upset with myself reading the book. Like, really? You're carrying this whole thing through the whole book. And I, sadly to say, in a way, and in another way, it's part of my journey, that there are still things that I was able to do in that moment that I still look back and say, yeah, but that was a special moment, or yeah, but, and then it's like, well, we could be like this more often. We could live those magical moments more often, I believe. And I want
to. Yeah. Well, I think that one of the first lessons that you talk about, you know, is that how being with your dog brought you into the now, and being present is so important. And I think that, you know, to alter it, to change it, maybe you could keep some of that, but I like that you're holding to that, you know, authenticity. And that's what being in the now does for us, right? It really brings us into being truthful and being honest and open with who we are and what we're doing. And that is exactly what you're sharing in the book, because, yeah, I mean, probably a lot of people would have thought, why would you have written a book like this, being, you know, your background and everything else? But I also like, too, that you start off, you know, I mean, that you do talk about, you know, when the teacher is ready, you know, when the student is ready, the teacher will show up. Let's say it that way.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And how did that come to you from that? When did that awareness, when did you realize that this is what the dog was teaching you?
You know, I actually had help early on. So I had actually just met, I don't remember now if it was within a few months, a woman by the name of Dorothy Donahue, who's in the book. So I had recently met her, and I called her because I knew this was, it was a moment. I called her, even though I really didn't know her very well, to share with her that I had come across this dog astray, and she said to me, now she's a spiritual healer and all that, and I really hadn't worked with her very much, but I had worked with her some, so I knew how she worked. And then she threw this phrase out of left field, and she said, it's your dog. And I bring this up in the book. And I said, oh no, I'm looking for the rightful owner or caretaker or keeper. And I'm sure we'll find who it is. And she's too cute for someone not to be looking for her, blah, blah, blah. And she says, she's your dog. And I said, that's impossible. I can't have a dog. My life is so busy. And I live alone, and I don't want to leave her, and blah, blah, blah. And she said, all right, she's your dog until you learn the lesson.
Beautiful.
and I thought, yeah, that's a little weird for me, and I don't understand it. And so...
Looking kind of cross-eyed at her, like, what lesson? He has to go to the bathroom and I have to feed him, right? Right? Definitely, yeah. So much to learn. So you talk about learning from the five senses of the dogs. What was it that you didn't already know? I mean, what were those senses? How did they come in, and what were those lessons about?
You know, it's not that we don't know. As a matter of fact, I remember being taught this, I don't know if they still teach this in school, but maybe first grade or kindergarten, I don't remember, about our five senses, touch, feel, smell. And personally, I'm a very tactile person, so if I'm walking through a store and I see a garment hanging, I'm like, oh, that looks cool, what's it made of? I touch it, I feel it. But I don't always connect with that, and life gets busy and all of that, so I'll walk through a store more often than not now and not touch anything, which is probably what I'm supposed to do, don't touch anything. But, you know, not touch anything, not really pay attention to the smells unless I'm hungry and I'm passing by a mall food court or something. But otherwise, it's just I'm busy, I'm focused, and it's my mind at work as opposed to taking in what all my senses are actually giving me. And even sound, we have to, in a sense, shut some of this stuff out. The noise of the street, depending on where we live, or the Muzak playing in the, not to put down Muzak, but you know, music playing in the stores or in the office or everywhere we go, there are sounds. And so in order to stay focused, in order to stay concentrated, and in a sense actually not be in the now, because we're thinking about what we're going to do next or how we're going to do that going forward or how are we going to do that someday, I tune a lot of stuff out. And so in a day, I will be less in touch with my senses than I can be. And watching the dog, really being with the dog, really being in her presence and getting in tune with her and seeing how the actual sensation of taking in that moment with the senses is there's information there that I'm missing out that actually could even help me move the things I want to move forward.
Yes,
because
absolutely.
It's not just the smell that I'm smelling, but it's kind of like getting into our body, getting into this moment, being here right now and taking in as much as we can when we can.
Yes, I totally agree. And again, that is something, too, that I teach. It's like intuitively being in the moment, intuitively opening up, and like really going beyond what we know as our senses, exactly what you're talking about. I mean, you talked about how the dogs, like you were amazed, the dogs can smell fear. Oh, my goodness. Yes, we can, too. We just have to be attuned and be in that present moment.
Right.
And again, it goes back to being in that present moment. But that's how
right.
I find signs. That's what I call signs from spirit, right? Just like looking for the signs, knowing we're in alignment. But we do have to be present. We really do. And dogs' lives, they're not as complicated as ours generally, right? And they have this
right.
innate ability and this innate sense. And I think that we all can do that as well, which is, I think, part of what your lesson was opening up to.
Absolutely. And you take it into the sixth sense and beyond in what you just said. And sometimes it seemed that I was able to get into the sixth sense and beyond by first being connected to the first five and so having a foundation and going from there.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, having that foundation. So as you went through each one, smelling and listening and hearing and feeling, then opening up to that sixth sense. And as you said in your book, that all of a sudden you realized you were feeling more alive than ever. I love it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Indeed.
So you found the dog, and the dog's kind of with you, and you have nowhere to really keep it, and you start to have a whole different perspective, right, on how you're treating the dog and feeding the dog and taking care of the dog. Never thought possible, right?
I became like one of those people, right? Because it made sense to me when one connects that beautifully and that well and understands that one doesn't want to leave the dog alone, and one wants to share the experiences with others, and it I get it.
So instead of being like, why did she bring the dog, all of a sudden the dog's coming with you, right? People are looking at you a little funny. But there is that connection, right? And because you found this dog and rescued it, I mean, we didn't even talk about that. I mean, what you went through to even just rescue it and how it caught your eye, definitely a connection, definitely a spiritual connection, very important. And the fact that you were even aware in that moment, because you didn't have to be, right?
True. Actually, there's an interesting juxtaposition happening in that moment, because on the one side, I talk about how into myself and how great life is kind of thing I was, and on the other, to be able to recognize or to actually stop to take in that this is about something else on some level. And act upon it. So yeah, it's interesting, and it takes moments like that, being open to moments like that, that can really change our lives and for the better.
Right. Yeah, a little spiritual awakening in the middle of, I guess it was a highway or something on a cold night. It's like, hello, and not even looking for it, right?
Definitely not looking for it.
Yeah, but you did. You took it in, and then you journeyed on with it and, you know, took care of it. And then there was a little bit of a turn of events that you talk about. That was a pretty big moment in the book. It was very catching and very opening, and, you know, I was holding my breath. Shall we share what happened, or is it a suspense?
I think we almost have to leave it a suspense for now. At some point, more people will know, but there is a journey that people are experiencing as they go through this, and it's interesting to hear what people have been saying as they read the book. Things like, I stopped at that moment and I couldn't continue. But then I noticed there were so many more chapters left, and I thought, well, what possibly could he share at this point, right? And so they go back to read the book, and I had a hard time writing about that moment. Definitely because of what happened, definitely. But not just because of what happened, but because of what happened after what happened. You know, I teach a course. I created a course called Life Improvement. And what it's about is improv moments. We know improv as funny, as obviously improvisational, and comedians do it, and we enjoy it, and it's entertainment. However, to me, improv is one of the most important tools for life, because we never know what's going to happen from one moment to the next. And so I think it's something that should be taught in school, talk about after we learn our five senses, because it's something that we will be experiencing, and the children already are experiencing, because we don't know what's going to happen on the playground. We don't know what the next lesson, even in the class, is going to be, or who's going to drop a pencil, or who's going to drop a, you know, whatever it is, or what's going to drop in front of us or our lives. So I like saying that sometimes what happens after something major happens is even more important. And here's a great example, because what happened that you're referring to was horrible and devastating and all of that. And had I not tuned into something, and had we not tuned into together what was to be, then that might have been the end of the story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it certainly wasn't meant to be that.
Yeah. I know, when I got to that part in the book, I actually sped up. I was like, oh my gosh. And then I didn't want to put it down, right? And then, of course, being a teacher of energy, and you, right, you started into this whole other part of it, like you're saying. I mean, I know for improv, it brings you into that present moment, right? I was in fine arts at college and dancing. I did a lot of dance improv, but they teach us, you know, you're in the moment, you're breathing, you're watching. And that's what you're talking about with being in that moment. And then how you go from there, rather than being so busy, you can't hear, you can't see, you can't feel, you can't know any of those moments. So yeah, that energy is very important. But then the thing that also came forward, which relates so much to the work that I do and here my listeners are used to talking about, is that raising the vibration. Was that something new for you? Was that a new concept for you?
I have to say yes. And no, being a performer as well, I've been doing this all my life, you know, just before getting on stage and all that stuff. In this context, I didn't know what I was even meaning by it, right? And so what the interesting thing is that people have been saying after reading the book, it's like, can we do this with people? And I find it ironic because exactly. And yet I kind of say in the book that I didn't really relate with people this way. And so it took the relating with the dog, Chichina, by the way, to be able to get to this next, to this next level of understanding. So however we learn it, obviously with babies or with our elders or with our pets or, you know, we have ways to learn it. And the teachers are there. We just have to be ready.
Right. So that's a beautiful example of that, because Chichina did show you something very important. As you said, you were kind of used to raising your vibration before you go on and perform or your show or, you know, so yeah, I understand that too. And some of us understand that too, but we don't really take that concept out into our everyday life, especially in a healing aspect or a trauma aspect. And we all have this ability. We all have this innate ability. And that's partly what I teach in my program, that innate ability to really open up the vibration, to self-heal, to bring ourselves into that present moment. So very interesting.
Absolutely.
Of all your teachers, Chichina was your teacher, you know, one of our four-legged friends. Yes. But that's a very big lesson.
She has certainly been one of them. And as I look back, I have had many, and I didn't necessarily recognize them as such. And I have to say that in my life, both career and personally, I have a few right now, and some of them are teaching me in ways that I'm not enjoying. And so it's interesting to have this great reference. As a matter of fact, when I do talk to Dorothy Donahue about a particular experience now, she'll say, there's this great book you should read. and then we'll say, you know, this is about the part where, you know, you actually met the dog, or this is about the part where you were talking about earlier where the trauma happens, or, you know, she said, this is the part where you might consider doing this. And so the lessons continue. And in a way, I guess that's the beauty of life. I do want to add this back to your very first question of why I wrote the book. And now after we've come to this part of the interview, I'd like to refer back and say that like you've been saying, we can do this, and we have teachers, and this and that. And so when people say to me, "So you can do that," and I say, "No, really, it's not about I can do that. It's about we can do this and so much more." And so the more of us that write about these kinds of things and the more of us that share, so thank you for your show where you're sharing these kinds of things, that we can get beyond the surprise and, oh, yeah, I do that too. And this is what else we can do that we haven't even talked about yet, right?
Right. Yeah, there's so much more that this has led you to, I'm sure. I mean, were you looking for a teacher? Let's ask this question. Let's get into that a little bit. Were you looking for a teacher?
Yes. Ever since I was a child, actually, I looked for mentors and teachers, and I always gravitated to much, much older people than I, and constantly asked questions. So I always was, and I still am, always looking to learn, and hence our show, the Life Changes Show, as we were talking about, we just had Lena Esko on, Free the Nipple. I mean, what a learning experience that was. It's not something that, you know, I experienced as a male, so I was thrilled to learn about the experiences from the perspective of a young lady who was out there pushing this cause or bringing awareness and all of what that stands for, which is beyond what, you know, which just the title is. But so I'm always looking to learn. So yes, still looking.
And we can have many teachers. I agree with you. I am looking for a teacher too. One of my greatest teachers has passed, and so the search for another teacher to come in for there. So there is that possibility that teachers can come from anywhere. And I love that you include this as someone that can be your teacher, a dog, that sometimes we just have to get really quiet and realize that it's right in front of us.
Absolutely. And you know, actually, speaking of right in front of us, I have to share this at this point, which is not information that I had when the book was written and actually published. But once again, Dorothy Donahue, I mention her often because she's so instrumental in all of this at this point, and one of my greatest teachers now, and the executive producer of the Life Changes Show. So we have grown together so much. But she has been saying to me, we should have an animal communicator on, and it's gone in one ear out the other ear, in the sense that I'd say, yeah, let's, and then we move on. And so finally she came about 2 months ago, maybe, said, you know, I came across this animal communicator because we want the as best as we can, the people that we resonate the most with and want to support and all that stuff on our show. And so she said, Diana Del Monte. And I said, sounds great. If you say so, then that's the one. So we do our show in a studio, and at this point, even after having read a lot of her stuff and watched her on video and all that, I'm not making a connection to something extremely obvious to everybody else but me. And so because I'm busy thinking about so many things, and I'm busy promoting, actually, and doing book signings for The Little Dog That Could, and not making a connection to the fact that in the studio sits an animal communicator. and so the show is literally about to start, and I look at her and I said, oh, I have to talk to you. And she said, really? What about? I said, I wrote a book. And literally the program manager says, and we're live in 5, 4, 3. And I made a symbol like, I'll call you tomorrow. So I called her the next day, and I said, I've written a book, and da-da-da, I had this experience, blah, blah, blah. And she said, wow, I've never had a request like that to talk to an animal about something that happened so long ago and so specific. And she said, and I didn't tell her the story. I just said, I want to see if the dog's experience was that like mine, or what the dog experience. And I actually posted what she wrote in a blog on the LifeChangesShow.com page. It brought me to tears when I read it. A couple of days later, she sends me the answers to these questions. She not only corroborated what was in the book, but she said things that nobody knew, that were not in the book, that I didn't think of posting, that didn't seem relevant to me at the time or important. And it shocked me, and it shouldn't, because I experienced many things like that. So I should have said, of course. But instead, it's like, wow. And so the teachers keep coming. And so what reminded me of this was the fact that you said that I said that even our furry animals could even be our teachers. She actually said that, and I don't know how this happens, but she said the dog had a mission to do this, this, and this with you. Wow. And those are actually the things that she ended up doing. And, and Diana had not even read my book or seen it and until last week, actually. So
Did she meet your dog, or did she just bring the energy of your dog in?
However she does it, she asked for a picture of me and a picture of Chichina.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good. Yeah, I was curious about that. So working with the energetic body, yeah, very cool. Very cool.
Right. So there is so much more, right, Terry?
Right. There is. And I think that, you know, I teach that, you know, as we move into this Aquarian age, this is exactly the energetic, vibrational energy that we all can tap into. And yes, our animals, they teach us so much, right? And so many people don't even realize, but man, they transition all the energy and the emotional energy, especially in the household. It's just amazing what they take on for us. It really is. And, you know, our Native Americans know this. Our elders teach this. We have our animal totems, but so often they're just taken for granted or kicked around or not treated fairly. That, to me, I just don't understand, because they're just beautiful, innocent souls that bring us so much love. And in your case, so much lesson, so many lessons, so much teaching. Yeah.
Mm.
So, yeah, I can't believe everything that. Yeah, I can't believe everything that Diane brought in for you just by reading the energy there. And I truly do believe that there is a way to communicate. I've been fascinated with horses as well. And most recently, right, in Reiki News Magazine, which I write for sometimes, there was an article about attuning the horses to Reiki energy, not just using them on the horses, but actually attuning them to Reiki energy. And then the horses have this ability to choose their students. They leave it up to the horses to pick which student they're going to work with. And then the amazing benefits of what the children get from it, the confidence, the love, the responsibility. I mean, there's so much that goes on, but the idea of attuning the horses for that, it was just mind-blowing for me. I know even my own work with horses, yes, the horses will take the energy in, but for them to be the actual channel, that was just a really beautiful concept. So it has me fascinated. That's pretty recent that I read that, very recent. So there is so much that they can do for us. And so I love this so much about the story and how you've written it and the lessons, you know, that it taught you to learn. I mean, just even opening up your own senses to be able to really look, be able to really hear, to be able to really feel, and to be able to really see, and then be, just be, right? To just be. And I think that's so important, definitely. So overall, what did you learn from the experience of even just writing this book? What did you learn? Did it make it more real? Did it bring it more into truth?
Yes, and yes. One of the reasons I didn't want to write the book is because, you know, these are not things that I was taught as a child. They weren't part of my life and part of our experience. And if anything, if they came into our lives, it was brought in as like, oh, that's a witch, or, you know, that's voodoo. And I even remember asking a Catholic priest one time, you know, it's like, is this actually possible? Because I remember having an experience that I didn't understand as a child that I talked to a priest about, and he said, you don't want to dabble in that, or that's the devil's work or something like that, and you want to say a prayer. And basically, years later, it's now, that story isn't in the book, but what I was feeling or thinking as a child was in the book. And while we're at it, you said something about the innocent souls and beings, and I want to give a shout out to children, because talk about looking for a teacher. As a child, I also felt like I had something to share. And I also felt like I didn't have anyone around me. Well, and these are fine examples of me thinking these things as a child. So it was obviously something that I was attuned to or connected to from birth or however it came. And I wanted to share, and I wanted to know more about it. So I made a point as a child, and I told myself, when I grow up, I'm going to listen to children. And I forgot about that until most recently, when my nieces and nephews, or, you know, the friends of the children of my friends and all that, who a couple of them have said to me, and it took a while to sink in. It's like, I like teaching you things. And I thought, oh, wow, I'm actually listening to the point that they feel like I am listening and learning from them. And I literally said, yes, I like learning from you too. There is so much that we as adults don't know that I feel the children come in with information. And here's when we mentioned Lena Esko, she's much younger than I am. And there's a fine example, right? Here we are.
Right.
Doing a
me
show
too,
with,
yeah.
Right. Right.
So, shout out to the kid at the yoga studio. She's like 22, maybe. I don't know, but has definitely taught me a lot. And she's the one that taught me about free the nipple. Yeah. So, yeah, our children are very important, especially the kids coming in today. Their vibration is different.
Right.
Yeah. We can't, you know, push them aside. You know, we have to be able to honor where they are. Definitely. So I like that. I like that part of you that came forward. Absolutely. So what are you hoping people will get out of this book?
Well, I hope they get out of it what they need to get out of it. It kind of like the experience that I had in that is described in the book. I could have had that experience and not gotten anything out of it. I could have just somehow thought that's weird and move on, or worse. So instead, I somehow took the time to take it in and see what it could mean for my life going forward. And I see where people are in their journey. As a life coach, obviously this is what we look for, but when people describe to me what the story meant to them, then I know where they are in general along their journey. So the person who says, I feel like I have a closer connection to my dog, bingo, that's cool. I mean, good for you. It's one of the maybe first parts, you know, one of the most simple things that one can get out of the book, right? And then there's so much more, but that's not for everybody. So there's a smorgasbord of opportunities available for all kinds of lessons in the book, and I hope they get what it is that they're looking for or they could use at this point to better their lives.
Yeah, and I don't think it's just for dog lovers, though. This book is not just for
dog lovers. No, absolutely
not. Yeah,
no, absolutely
definitely not for dog lovers. It's such a beautiful message. It is a Hallmark story. It is a miracle story, and so perfect for this time of year when, you know, we need inspiration and we need to love all those around us. And I think that's really important. So I think the message is really highly available to so many people. And like you said, everybody will get something out of it. whether it's about loving your dog more or whether it's about understanding more of being present, you know, or finding that teacher for you. And I think that's really those messages that come forward for all of us, especially this time of year. I think that's really good. So as we go to close the show, a couple more questions. I'd like to just say, what's going on for you and where can we find the book?
Okay, well, the book is the easier one. It's at thelittledogthatcould.com. And so we've created a page for that, thelittledogthatcould.com. And so on there are two main sources, Amazon and Barnes & Noble, direct links right to them. And so the book could be purchased there, but it's also available in some bookstores, and if people ask for them in bookstores, they can order it and all that stuff. But it's definitely available online, and it's available both as a hardcover book or softcover book and a online version, what do they call it, Kindle. So that's that. As for me, as you know, I continually talk about the book, of course, but I do the radio show and enjoy that very much, and then the Life Improvement Workshop and the Recalibration Workshop, and we just keep growing. In the radio show, we're looking forward to making it a live experience in Hollywood, California, so people can stay tuned to that at the lifechangershow.com. And talk about looking for teachers. I just keep looking to expand and to learn more. And in my learning, one of the things I like to do is to share with other people. I personally don't think I learn just for me. I don't live in a vacuum. I have learned from so many people. So many people have been generous to me, and that I feel like I can share the experience as I'm experiencing it. And as our show is titled, Life Changes, I like to say to people, what I believe today or what I'm sharing today will be different tomorrow. Hmm. Because if it's not, then it will have meant I didn't learn anything today. So, because life's going to change, and then I'm going to have an expanded view, and what looks like this then could have been that. And so looking back at the book, I can say, well, was it this or was it that? And this or that is not really as important to me as the fact that I became this because of this and that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does make sense, because I think it reflects the lesson that you learned, that you were open and that you did bring in a teacher. I think that can. And I think that, yeah, I mean, that is a big takeaway for many of us, you know, being in that present moment and never knowing what can come our way. But when we can stop and be quiet and listen and feel and be in that moment, there's so much that can follow from that. You know, even when we're not even looking, even when we're not really expecting it, I should say, that if we can allow it to happen. And I think that's mm-hmm. a beautiful message from the book itself, you know, and that innate ability that we all have to tap into spirit, to tap into these moments when this, you know, this furry little animal that you rescued, you took some of your time out to rescue something that you really had no connection with prior. Obviously there was spiritual connection, right? But you didn't know that. And you did bring it in and you did take the time. And then the journey that you took with this beautiful dog to Gina was a huge teaching that shifted your life probably forever in a good way. You know? So yeah.
Absolutely.
Definitely I can understand that.
Absolutely.
So just to close, overall, what would you say you can leave our listeners with from the book?
I would say that there's so much more to us than we have even tapped into. At least that is my experience. And that the more we could be courageous to explore the world beyond what we know, I think the more exciting our world and experience will be.
Beautiful. I love it. Yeah. Just opens us up to that infinite possibility. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for sharing this work. I'm glad that you had encouragement to bring it forward and help others. I really appreciate that so much. Thank you.
Terry, I appreciate you, and what a delight to be with you on your show today. Thank you so much.
Thank you, too. And I look forward to hearing more about how the book turns out, if you do make it into a movie or whatever it turns out to be. The lesson itself is hugely valuable. I'll definitely share the links in the show notes. And again, I appreciate it this time of year when miracles everywhere are around and just that ability to believe in them is possible. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Have a great day. To your spirit.
You too, Terry.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right. So thank you again, Filippo. That was just such a beautiful, beautiful message going on. Life is going to change. Yes, the lessons do continue, that they will. Being open to the miracles all around, looking for your teachers, and when you are ready, they will appear in many different forms. So yes, what a beautiful message. Definitely check it out, thelittledogthatcould.com. Check out Filippo's work and the Life Changes show. So much to offer. Just really left a beautiful, warm feeling in my heart from the book. All right, so let's just take a nice, deep inhale and exhale. Send that breath all the way down. Coming back, taking in all that you need. Inhaling and exhaling. All right. So going forward, let's see, next week, the 26th, I'll be back closing the year. We'll be doing a little ceremony, and I'll be offering some more readings on how you can continue to let go of this year in preparation of moving into 2017. I also have an announcement about my big show coming up next week, so please do join me. Locally, if you're around in the area on Wednesday for the winter solstice, I'm actually going to be doing two things. One, I'll be doing a Facebook Live at 3 o'clock, so find me on Facebook and join in if you're not in the local area. But we'll be going deep and looking for our guidance for the winter. And then in person at Birmingham Yoga at 6:30, I'll be offering a winter solstice ceremony and restorative yoga poses using a crystal color light chakra meditation. Yes, I'm bringing out my light labyrinth, sound and gong healing as well. So please do join me Wednesday, 6:30 at Birmingham Yoga or on Facebook Live, wherever you are, at 3 in the afternoon Central Time. So it's not too late to take advantage of my winter bonus for the Empowered Spirit Program. Contact me now. So as we go to close, just take a moment and think of all the many miracles in your life already. Think of all the little four-legged animals, your pets, the birds, all of them that come in each and every day to offer us lessons of love and light. And as you move through this holiday season, may you honor all of this. May you honor each and every person around you. May you honor your place in the universe. Yes, you matter. You count. Honor all your relations. Appreciate your family, good, bad, or indifferent. Find it in your heart to reach out, to share a kind word, a smile, and a connection with all of those around you. From my heart to yours, happy holidays. To your spirit, namaste.
There's nothing like the thrill of a last-second victory. That buzzer beater from 20 feet out. The game-winning field goal that just makes it as the clock ticks down. That great limited-time deal on a new 2017 Volkswagen at the Volkswagen Model Year End Event. We need to make room for the 2018s, so this could be your last chance to get a great deal on select 2017 Volkswagen models. Visit your nearest Volkswagen dealer for a test drive today. But hurry, because the clock is ticking and we can't call time out. There's nothing like the thrill of a last-second victory. That buzzer beater from 20 feet out. The game-winning field goal that just makes it as the clock ticks down. That great limited-time deal on a new 2017 Volkswagen at the Volkswagen Model Year End Event. We need to make room for the 2018s. So this could be your last chance to get a great deal on select 2017 Volkswagen models. Visit your nearest Volkswagen dealer for a test drive today. But hurry, because the clock is ticking and we can't call time out.